Okay, so we're back. Anyway, I carry.
But I can. Tamara has said is that they really pushed us technologically, so the participants learn new skills as well.
Very good.
It did require a lot of patience on everybody's part. It was for 2 hours, and we had a half an hour before that where it was just people could come in and figure it out. And I will tell you that prior to last night, we had 3 practice sessions with that software just trying to figure out how best to use it. So it's
Amber, what software were you using? Was it Illuminate?
It's Blackboard Collaborate, which is Illuminate. Blackboard bought Illuminate, so
right. That's
what it is.
Yeah, that's one I've been using too. So
a lot of
educational institutions are actually around the world use that. So there should be some folks who are comfortable with it.
Well, I think that there's a level in which you can get comfortable with it, and then there's a whole other level of functionality that, as we gain more experience, I think it will make it easier in the long run, but it's a very steep learning curve.
I absolutely agree. And they just changed the interface quite a bit in the last 2 months, and it's just totally set me back for a while until I got used to it. So, not helpful.
So, but we were able to, we showed slides, we showed the website, although I must say that when Jeff was showing the website, most people could see it, but I had a white screen, and I couldn't figure out why I couldn't see it. And I only saw things again when he went back to slide. So,
wow.
Who knows? Who knows what happened?
Version 11.
Anyway, what?
I was just going to say, even version 11 has its problems.
So, are there any other announcements?
Question about the NAAE conference preparations. For those of us who have panel symposia kind of sessions, if we're having conference calls to organize the participants and get our plan together for that, can we use this phone number?
Yes. Yes, you can use this phone number. The only danger is that if multiple people are trying to use it at the same time, you can't do that. You'll just call into you'll call into the one call. So obviously don't have your call for 1 o'clock on Tuesdays. There's a possibility of you accidentally scheduling it at the same time as somebody else. So I guess I would suggest that you clear the time, some way, and I don't want to put a burden on anybody to have to keep track of that. Maybe it would be just best if you let me know when you're planning to do it, what time you've decided on, and
let me
and
tell
then,
you right now that the How to Teach Controversy About Controversy symposium would like to do it at 9 o'clock this Thursday. I'm sorry, that's 9 o'clock Mountain Time, 11 o'clock Eastern.
On this Thursday?
Yep.
So 9, 11 a.m.
11 a.m.
And is this Susan with Susan Burr?
Yep, and Frank and Peg.
Okay, Susan, yeah, Susan already asked me about this, so that's fine. So this is the 9:22?
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, that'd be fine.
Okay.
And this is Doug. I'd like to schedule the How to Create More Controversy in Climate Education call.
We don't need any more controversy.
Tongue deep
always
in cheek.
It.
I'd like to talk about money. I just sent out an announcement of NSF's new Discovery Research K-12 program solicitation.
Mm-hmm.
And they're expecting to distribute, I think it's $40 million. Yep, $40 million with some 3-year, some 4-year, some 2-year grants for everything from assessment to learning, teaching, and scaling up proposals.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So it's a big solicitation with a quick timeline. The letters of intent are due November 17th.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Are letters of intent required?
Yes. Yeah, letters of intent are required, and no pre-proposals are required.
Okay.
And when's the deadline?
January.
Yeah.
It's all in the email that I just sent about 15 minutes ago.
Yep.
Okay, great. Any
Tamara,
other announcements?
I have a question to somebody else.
Yeah.
Martha Shaw last week was just about to go into Coca-Cola and do a presentation, and I'm wondering whether Martha can report back how that went.
Oh, nice idea.
Yeah. I don't know if you heard that, Martha.
Is she on?
She's at the Clinton Initiative this year.
Yeah.
I mean, this week.
Oh, so she's not on the call. Well, we'll have to, Scott, you can remember to ask her to do that next time.
Okay.
I think she said she was going on mute.
Yeah, that's why I thought she might have a comment. We'll catch it next time.
Okay, great. All right, any other announcements? Okay, if not, we'll move on to our presentation for today. We have Kristen Poppleton from the Will Steger Foundation. Kristen is the Education Program Manager, and she's going to be talking to us about climate change education at the state level, Minnesota's Changing Climate Curriculum and Online Classroom. And I think there is a website to go to and slides. So, Kristen, I'll turn it over to you.
Thanks. Can everyone hear me okay? I'm on speakerphone here.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Can anyone not? You can hear me. Say yes if you hear me.
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
Well, thanks for letting me talk a little bit about this project. And also, I'm really hoping that if some of you have time in the next coming weeks to go through the classroom and curriculum and give us any feedback you have, it's always appreciated. We're sort of thinking this is our pilot year and hoping to be able to get back and do some changes on it as well. So what I'm going to do is walk through, use the slides basically as a means of walking through what I'm talking about. And then at the end, we're going to switch to the site, the classroom.willstegerfoundation.org. And I'm going to point out some features of it. And please ask any questions you have as we're going through. So kind of to start out, I'm on slide one, just the title slide. I know we spoke last spring just about the Will Steger Foundation in general, but for anyone who doesn't know who we are, we're a small environmental nonprofit in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we were founded by Will Steger, who is a polar explorer that has been exploring the polar regions for the last 50 years and really has been eyewitness to the impacts of climate change. And out of his concern and out of his actual love for education, he was a teacher actually by vocation first. He founded this foundation in 2005. And we have an education program, Emerging Leaders Program, which focuses more on, I would say, out of school time. We do a little policy work as well. I direct the education program here. And so moving on to the second slide, Minnesota's Changing Climate. We were lucky enough 2 years ago to be allocated funding through Minnesota's Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund, which is a constitutionally dedicated fund through our state that it's actually lottery money that are only for environmental education and land trust sorts of projects. You write essentially a grant proposal, you give many, many presentations, and it actually becomes part, if it's recommended to be funded, it becomes part of a bill and goes through the legislature and gets picked apart, and sometimes pieces of it are removed. We were pretty lucky that our project was funded 2 years ago. This year, all projects that actually had the words climate change in them were removed from funding. And there was some debate specifically about this project on the floor, but we were lucky it made it through, and then the governor actually signs it into law, and at that point, Tim Pawlenty was governor. And so it was signed in and not vetoed in any way. So that's how, where the funding for this project comes from. And so moving on to the second piece, the slide three. So the goals of this project were really to build awareness and interest in Minnesota's natural environment, so the outside piece, the place here of Minnesota, and then making people aware of the impacts of climate change that are happening and will be happening, and providing teachers and students with tools that are necessary for active and lifelong stewardship. And that piece we always include. That's, I think, what distinguishes us in some respects from other climate change education curriculum and programs, is that we always focus on solutions and empowering students to come up with their own in classrooms. And that's actually our Emerging Leaders program, really primarily that's what it focuses on. And so moving to slide four, our goal was to do this through the development of a new curriculum, one for grades 3 through 8 and one for 9 through 12. There was, at one point, we wanted to do a 3 through 6, a 7, 12, or 7, 8, and 9, 12, but we only had a year, so we have to make some choices. An online classroom, and then summer institutes and project evaluation. So I'm going to just kind of walk through the different pieces and outcomes. So as I said, the funding came in 2 years ago, well, a year and a half ago, I guess I would say. And so moving to slide five, this first year, starting last July, was really focusing on introducing this project at our summer institute last summer, and then doing the research and writing of the curriculum and review this year. This last past year, collaborating with some key partners, doing some outreach to bring in teachers for this last summer's institute, which was August last month, and then getting this all printed and this pulled together by August 11th, 2011. And so the curriculum itself, like I said, there's grades 3 through 8 and then 9 through 12, they're very similar as far as thematically, but obviously getting at different skills. It was reviewed by Minnesota educators and scientific and educational partners, some of whom are acknowledged in the front of the curriculum, and some whom aren't, because they asked not to be because they were from state agencies and didn't want to look like they were, what's the word, supporting it, or even though they had some great feedback, they didn't want their names on it. It was aligned to Minnesota's science and geography and English language arts standards, and then actually the climate literacy principles also, as well as our state environmental literacy scope and sequence. Because Will Steger here is really well known in the Midwest, his archives and journals are woven throughout this and used as sort of an inspirational piece for students to see how someone, when they were young, were connecting with their place and how those skills applied later in life. So that's another key piece. And then it culminates with a stewardship project. So moving on to the next slide, the curriculum outline. There's six lessons in the curriculum, The first one starts with starting what a journal is and what a journal is for. We use that really as a way for students to connect with their place in the outdoors and around their schoolyard or educational settings. And then that journal is used as sort of a touchstone throughout the rest of the curriculum. There's exercises for journaling throughout that bring them back to that. And that was, in some cases, in some classrooms, that's being used with the science notebooking, which has become very popular and used for documentation. Other schools, we had an arts teacher at one of at our institute who was really excited about getting more into phonology and sketching and photography piece, so different types of journaling. It gets into the four biomes of Minnesota, understanding how those are divided, which is primarily based on climate. And then defining Minnesota's climate, what is weather, what is climate, what is phonology, and what is climate change, what does it mean here for Minnesota? Getting none and less than five into looking at some data, most of which is from our climatology center here in the state, and looking at how Minnesota has already changed, ice out dates having changed, things like that. And then the last lesson, getting into, okay, what have we learned and what can we do as students, as a class, as a school, as a member of the community. All right, moving to lesson seven, or slide seven, I should say. I just wanted to point out some key components. Throughout it, I mentioned the journaling assignment. That's a real focus of the curriculum. And like I said, in it, there's examples from Will's journals that for each lesson that give kind of students a inspirational piece. There's extensions. The online classroom is connected, and there's some recommendations of how to do that. Each lesson has a take it outside connecting with your place piece, which is very intentional. There's a real focus on getting out of the classroom in this curriculum. And then there's copy pages and journal pages, kind of inserted that. Slide number eight. Just wanted to pull that out again. As I mentioned earlier, this lesson six, we really focused on our institute, and when we talked to teachers about teaching about climate change, the what can I do piece is absolutely essential component of teaching of it, because it doesn't motivate students if you just talk to them about negative impacts. Discussing some of the solutions and actually eliciting ideas from them is really, really important. Slide nine. As I said, part of this project actually pays for evaluation, which is awesome because, as you know, it's one of the big pieces that's so important but often gets left out of things. And after a two-day training at our institute, looking specifically at the curriculum and playing around with it, thinking about how teachers would be using it in their classroom, we had some really positive responses on it already, and how teachers would be implementing or integrating it in next year, which we were really pleased about. Especially that it, I really liked that a lot of them said it really matched their goals, which means that it's easier to use. It's not an add-on as much, so. That's a little overview of our curriculum, and I'll point out where you can actually get a copy when we get to the online classroom. Slide number 10, our Summer Institute, and those are hyperlinks. I wouldn't click on them right now, but the Summer Institute takes you to a 7-minute video that's just a recap of our institute that I'd encourage you to watch some other time. And then the hyperlink at the bottom takes you to a video that is an overview of the entire forum. So our Summer Institute was in August. We had about 95 teachers that showed up. They were from all four biomes of Minnesota, which was really intentional. We wanted to get involvement throughout the state. And they represented formal, informal settings, a variety of different disciplines, and grades 3 through 12. The Institute was 2 days long. We had large group and small group breakout sessions that focused not only on content but also on skills such as digital photography or journaling, science notebooking that would help with doing this project. And that it included a forum in the evening between the 2 days that focused on three well-known Minnesotans talking about their sense of place here in Minnesota. The science policy advisor, J.J. Hamilton from Fresh Energy, was there. Don Shelby, who was a just retired news anchor and a regular contributor to a number of our newspapers, and then Will Seeger. So they talked about that, and that was a fun piece in the middle. So finally, our online classroom overview, slide 11. So the online classroom was developed with the Center for Global Environmental Education out of Hamline University. We obviously had a lot of back and forth with them on content and what we wanted to include and how it would work with the written curriculum. They developed the learning module piece of it, which is embedded in the larger site. And so that piece includes interactive content on Minnesota's biomes and the impacts of climate change and what is climate change. It also includes videos and audio from Will and as well as other Minnesotans, other scientists from the University of Minnesota, and then opportunities for online sharing. And at this point, I think what I'm going to have, there's slides there that I am going to use just to remember what to talk about, but if everyone could go to the site, classroom.willseegerfoundation.org, that's at the top of that slide. Is there anyone that is having trouble getting to it? Or is everyone there?
I'm there.
Great.
Yes.
Looks good.
I'm assuming if I don't hear anything, then you're there. So, like I said, so when you're looking at the site, you'll see the wood grain, Minnesota's changing climate, there in sort of the middle of it. And that is what I'm calling, or we're calling, the learning module. And that's a flash, I'm going to try and talk tech here, even though it's not my thing, but that's a flash-based module. So,
I'm sorry, what are you referring to?
The piece in the middle, the wood grain with the state of Minnesota, the pretty thing. Says intro video, climate change basics, Aspen Parkland.
Okay.
Okay. So that piece, that box there, is basically embedded in our site. So, and that is the piece that was developed with the Center for Global Environmental Education. Around that box in the middle are a number of other pieces, and I'm just going to kind of walk through the parts that are not as static. They're more dynamic. They will be changing. The piece in the middle at this point is there to stay until we maybe do a little upgrading at some point. But it is a learning module. And so looking at that first page there, you'll see it's a map that outlines the four biomes of Minnesota. And on the sidebar, you'll see each of those biomes are listed, and then above there it says climate change basics and intro video. And just because we can't really do videos or whatever on the conference call right now, I'm not going to hit on all of them. But the intro video, if you click on it, will take you, it'll pop out a video that introduces the project and what the online classroom is geared to do. And ask everyone to click on climate change basics, and you should get a loading sign there. Oops, somebody clicked on a video.
Your illustrations are wonderful. Do you have somebody on staff that did these?
Hamlin did. That was actually one of the we just kind of had a closing meeting fun thing last week, and I said that was actually one of the highlights for me. I didn't even think that would be a piece of this, but it's like I said, journaling is such a focus of this, that having that look, that sketchy look, is just, I love it. So you'll see climate, close-up temperature from Ice Age to today, today and the future, and what can I do? I'm not going to click on everything. We don't have enough time. I encourage you to go through it and play. If you click climate close-up temperature, you should get a pop-out box. And there's a few, there's not a ton, but there's a few interactives in this learning module. And this is one of them. It gives students the opportunity to look at the state of Minnesota and try and answer some questions about the different biomes, so they kind of get an understanding, A, of how to read a map and look at these sorts of temperature-based maps, which are also included in the curriculum, and also get a sense of how biomes are defined by temperature. Our goal, of course, is to include the precipitation map as well, but this was a very small budget project, so it's a fun interactive, and I'm not going to go through it right now, but if you click forward to Minnesota's temperature, you'll see there's the first question asking which biome or biomes has the highest normal annual temperature, and so you would click on one of those, and there's some fun sound effects if you get it right or wrong. So there's an X in the upper right-hand corner. If you click on that, you'll get out of that, and it'll take you back to climate change basics. From Ice Age to today, and today and in the future, also includes some interactive pieces. This is actually where those interactives are in the curriculum, in the online classroom part. And then the What Can I Do piece is actually our friends at Climate Wisconsin generously let us use one of the videos that they have on their site at that point. So if you go down to the bottom where it says main menu, you click on that, it should take you back to the page, the opening page again, and there should be a check mark next to climate change basics, so you kind of know that you already explored that part. And I'm going to choose, ask everyone to click on coniferous forest.
I'm sorry, where are you? I lost the last click.
What does it look like where you are right now?
I'm on climate change basics.
Okay. So if you, down at the bottom, it should say main menu with the map next to it.
Yes.
Click on that.
Okay, thanks.
Yep, no problem. So now we're back at that main menu. I'm going to ask everyone to click on coniferous forest, just because that's my favorite biome of Minnesota. And that should take you to the coniferous forest. Now, each of the biomes has the same layout. It says panorama, climate change impact, journals, and photo gallery. The intro video is right there. If you hit the triangle, it would play for you. I think it's a 6-minute video. It introduces the biome, Will introduces the biome, and then a number of scientists from the state of Minnesota talk about the biome, its importance, and then a researcher that's done or is doing research on the coniferous forest and the impacts of climate change talks about their research, and that's what happens in that video. If you click on panorama, see if this works with all of us doing this here. Has everyone come to a panorama?
Yes.
It says, okay, so if you click on that, you can, it takes you to a beautiful overlook in the coniferous forest in Minnesota. And on the bottom, there's some arrows that if you click on them, you can kind of look around the scene, a panoramic view. And in there, you'll see that there's different boxes that you can click on that will tell you some key information about that biome. So I have one in front of me that says wildlife, wolves and coyotes, and if I clicked on that, a box would open up that would tell me about wolves and coyotes.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
I did click panorama, and I have an all-white screen.
Okay, so click on coniferous forest again. Go back. It'll take you back, and then click on panorama again and see if that works. I'm not sure. That's one of our...
Kristen, that worked. Thank you very much.
Okay, great. So like I said, this is a way for you to learn a little bit more about what makes that biome special. And if you want to explore it later, I'll let you, but right now we're going to click on coniferous forest. You'll see in the right-hand corner, and that'll take you back to that coniferous forest page. You'll also see the climate change impacts page. If we click on climate change impacts, there's usually two or three species or key features of that biome that have been highlighted. And if you were to click, like it says Lake Superior and Moose, if I click on Lake Superior, it takes me to a journal entry about Lake Superior, what makes it special, and how climate change is impacting the lake. Once again, there's a little white box in the corner you can click on to take you out of that pop-out box.
Will Steger journal entry.
Yep.
One thing I'm noticing, Kristen, is sometimes I automatically go up to my browser's back button, and when I do that, I end up back in Google.
I know.
That's really frustrating.
That's the problem with like a flash-based embedded thing, because you're not on that page or in that little module. So it's a con of using this sort of flash. And we would have loved to do it maybe a little bit differently, but we're on the cusp of interactivity right now as far as flash or other sorts of devices, as I understand it, not being an expert on this stuff. Okay, so I'm back at the main coniferous forest page. If you click on journals, that takes you to
How do I get back to coniferous forest?
Where are you right now?
I'm on the panorama.
Okay, so in the corner bottom right hand, it should say coniferous forest, and you click on that.
Thanks.
Yep. And then click on journal. So each biome also highlights some historical journals from different people in the state of Minnesota over time who have written about the state or written about that particular biome. And so I won't click on any of these right now, but if you clicked on one, it would take you to an excerpt from their journal and see how they wrote. There's also, it says Journal Basics. If you click on Journal Basics, it takes you to just another little intro video on journaling, and then some different kinds of journals that you can use. On that coniferous forest journals page, you also can see want to share your journals, click the share your observations link at right, and we'll get to that in a second, but that is another goal of this online classroom, is encouraging some interaction. All right, I clicked main menu, and I'm back at the beginning, and that's the learning module piece of this in a nutshell. Right now, we're really trying to come up with some ways to use this beyond just plopping it in a teacher's lap, and so we're hoping to develop a couple of worksheets that, you know, explain like, oh, if you want to just learn about journaling, you would go to this part, and here's some questions you could ask. But that's sort of stage two of using this. It's obviously very content rich, so we're trying to figure out ways of using that piece. So looking up at the rest, so now I'm looking at the green top title bar. It says classroom home, information about, et cetera, et cetera. If you go under, and I'm not clicking on it, but if you just put your mouse over the supporting materials piece, and then go down to curriculum and handouts, that should open a sidebar, and curriculum download and preview is there. And that's where you can go if you are interested in downloading the curriculum I described earlier. It's free to download. You just have to input your information. So we keep track of, you know, obviously how many people and where they're from that they're downloading our curriculum. We also, because a lot of the worksheets and journal entries are real rich with color, colored photos, we have all the handouts and worksheets there also to download individually for teachers that want to make copies, but they don't want to make a copy from their actual curriculum. There's the video gallery and the image gallery, which includes photos and videos that are in that learning module we just saw. So if you wanted to see those separately. And then you'll see the Explore Minnesota's Biomes kit. If you want to click on that piece, I'm going to highlight that quick. We were really lucky to get a little extra funding from a small foundation here in Minnesota, the Donald Leisner Foundation, to buy kits for all the teachers that attended our institute, in addition to having some here that we can lend out. And so the kits have a digital camera and field guides and rain gauges, thermometers, and the teachers then had the actual tools to go and implement the take it outside pieces of the curriculum. So they really have no excuse to not do it because they have everything. And so that information about that is there, and we have them here in our office for folks to pick up, or also we'll be sending them out to people in the state that are interested in using them. The last thing I really want to highlight is the Connect Get Social piece. So if you go up top, it says Connect Get Social, and you go down to View Observations by Others. And click on that. So we asked teachers that participated in our institute to use those digital cameras and take pictures with their students, teach them how to use it, make observations, and let us know what they're doing. And we really had no idea if anyone would even start. And within the last 2 weeks here, we've had 200 submissions to this piece already. And essentially, it's just a form that you would that people go to under Share Your Observations and Action Projects, and students put in their name and where they were and what their location and what they saw. And if they have an image, they can attach it. If they develop a video, they can insert the link to TeacherTube or YouTube. And then we're posting them here. And so if you're on that site, you'll just see that photos and just observations from students. And teachers were really excited about this piece, I apparently because of the a lot of the technology standards now as well, you know, are understanding how to interact and use the how to upload things and pieces like that. But it's also a place where they're excited because they can go back now and they're commenting on each other's photos. They can choose to look at pictures from other places in the state from other students or read what other students are saying. And ideally, this will be where we're also including videos of student projects that they're doing at the end of the project. So this is so far we've been overwhelmed with the success of this piece just because I really was a naysayer as far as getting people to upload things and interact with this part. But I think a number of teachers have used it as homework because we've gotten a lot of submissions over the weekend from students in the high school area. So That is, I think the parts I want to highlight, just because we have 10 minutes left, and I'd love if people had questions or comments or anything about this at this point. Thanks for letting me share it, though.
Thanks very much, Kristen. Are there any questions? I'm trying to figure out, with all of this data that's been uploaded, I'm seeing some tags. I'm wondering if you could briefly explain the different kinds of search strategies such that you could get to particular data you may be asking questions about. It looks like there's some information about tags.
Like how it's tagged? The tags, you're saying?
Yeah. I think she's saying how it's tagged.
Okay. So that's just to organize the information. So what you're saying actually is true. If you wanted to find out just what people were saying about the coniferous forest, you could click on that tag, and it would organize all the inputs from the coniferous forest. If you wanted to just get all the information from your school, so that's one of the big things, is a lot of schools are saying, oh, I want to be able to just see my school. They can click on the name of their school there.
Are there suggested tags, or they can make up any tags they want?
Well, so the way this works at this point, and it may change just because of how many submissions are happening. Right now, what they do is they go to, if you go up to ConnectKids Social and it says share observations, if you click on that right now, they get to this form and fill out this form. And there is, I think, a few suggested tags. I forget. But then that form is just sent in an email to our other project manager and myself. And then we have to publish it. And so we are actually optimally the ones that are choosing those tags.
Okay.
So we're making sure that their school is tagged, or if they incorrectly choose something. It's also making sure there's no naked photos that just happen to go up there. We're moderating it to some extent. Do you have any ideas of ways of making that more useful?
What I was just noticing was when I scrolled down, I was seeing the names of the schools, I was looking at the different tags, and so those kind of promote the questions that you might end up asking.
Uh-huh.
It looks like, just let it develop for a while and see how that ends up playing out. But thank you for your explanation.
Yeah. It looks like there's a Wordle over on the right-hand side, and that I'm assuming that is automatically generated from the tags. Is that correct?
The Wordle is in tag. Yeah. So all of those are the tags, and they're Wordle being they're the size of how many tags. So right, obviously autumn is a big one because I think everything's labeled autumn right now. But then there's not as many. High school students or Ely, there must be only one submission with Ely. And actually, if you hold your mouse over them, it'll tell you how many items are in that.
Ah, okay.
Very good.
Are there any other questions?
Kristen, I'd just like to say that I think that students probably love this page most because it's a way to communicate with their parents and their friends.
Mm-hmm.
Show them what they're doing at school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
theme. I see that you're using Twitter with respect to especially those pages, the share pages. Is it just focused on that then? That people can say, oh yes, I just put something up on that page and have a look at it or whatever.
Yeah, so that's one of the things we're still developing. We started a new tag, MN Climate, also.
Huh?
And I what the goal is that we're going to be following, you know, very specific Minnesota things there, so they can go there to find, you know, information. I don't know that that will be quite as, you know, developed. Uh-huh. YouTube is one of those things. I don't know about all of you, but in the state of Minnesota, YouTube is blocked in all of our public schools.
Okay.
So we've been trying to use TeacherTube, which I'm not real impressed with personally.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the only other free option, and that is not blocked in schools. So we're asking them to use that piece.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Great. Lots of great ideas with this. This is just wonderful.
Great. Well, let us know if you find anything that you wrong with it. Also, those are, I mean, I love hearing that you love it, but I also would love to hear things that that you don't like.
Excellent.
Kristen, I have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking at the video gallery under the supporting materials and the online classroom videos. Did you have to get special permit? Are those videos of teachers in action with their students or just the students? And how did you go about getting permission?
So right now, the online classroom videos, so following videos can be found. Those first ones are the ones that are just in the learning module, so you can watch them there instead. And we're right now trying to, those are running off of a very slow place right now, so that's not working as well. We don't have, the ones that have students in action are submitted from some of our partners that we've worked with in the past, and so they've obtained, you know, permission from their students to do that. The examples below. And then we will be, there will be videos being posted from the schools, so they'll be obtaining the position, their permission, once we start, they start doing projects. We expect to be getting some public service announcements down the line here that a few schools are working on.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen, this is Linda. I'm sorry I was late and wondered, what was the overall budget that you needed in order to achieve this?
So the online classroom was $30,000, and we got, and that was just for the learning module part. When we got more than our money's worth on that, they acknowledged that, but they wanted it to be done right, and we only had a certain amount. The whole project, the curriculum and everything is, the curriculum, the online classroom, three summer institutes, the project evaluation, which includes, of course, supporting my salary. It doesn't include any overhead. They won't pay for overhead. That's a $250,000 budget.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
So did you have trouble getting it into classrooms?
This?
Yeah.
Oh, we had, like I said, 95 educators that came this summer, and we're all very excited to use it and bring it into their classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I mean, the fact that we're getting all these online submissions already, people are using it.
Yeah.
Yep. Anything else? Well, thanks so much for your feedback and listening.
Well, thank you very much for presenting this. It's very interesting. Thanks a lot, Kristen.
Great.
Okay, we will, so thanks everybody for calling in. We will continue our discussions next week. And please remember to send me and to Sarah Schull the your NAAEE presentations. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Great.
Thank you.
Bye, Tamara. Tamara? Tamara?